All right, when you find your place, Ephesians 1, Ephesians chapter 1. And I think we got one more lesson this year in Ephesians, and then on the 21st, I'm going to have Pastor Mark preach, and I look forward to hearing him preach, and then I think on the 28th, I'm probably going to have Pastor Donald preach, amen. They're off truth trackers. They need to do something, Brother Jeff. Amen. Let's all stand. Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 and 13 as we look at this subject tonight of the process of salvation. And boy, these are great verses. I'm telling you, they're connector verses here. We read verse 12 and really did an exposition on it last time, but we'll look at it again in verse 13 as well. Just reading two verses, so let's read them together. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Ready? Let's begin. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Father, bless your word now to our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you have an outline there, we'll just go quickly over our last lesson. We reviewed or we looked at the praise of His glory. And we had 5 points in our last lesson there. The first thing we looked at was the position. Verse number 11 says, in whom? In Christ. Amen. We talked about that, how we're hidden in Christ. We're safe there. Our position is in Christ. When God looks at you, He does not see all the faults and flaws and sins because, ladies and gentlemen, we are in Christ. And I'm telling you what, if you never got a hold of that, you need to get a hold of it, and it will revolutionize your thinking of how we look to God. Because listen, I know how I look to me. By the way, it's not an incentive to go out and do whatever you want and sin. No. It's the fact that God sees us as spotless and how we want to walk and be more conformed to Him. So the position. Then we looked at the portion. Verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance. There's a portion for you and I. There's that song, I've a home beyond the river. Hey, we have an inheritance awaiting us, don't we? Perfect. That fadeth not away, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Number 3, we looked at the purpose, according to the purpose of Him. Fourthly, we looked at the praise, that we should be to the praise of His glory. We'd be objects of praise, that one day, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to praise the Lord. People think heaven is just going to be, us just floating around on clouds and all that. I can guarantee you there's two things we're going to do. We're going to praise and we're going to serve. And we're never going to run out of energy to do either one. Hallelujah for that. Amen. And then lastly, we looked at the principle, the first thing. What has to happen first? I'll tell you what has to happen first. We trust Christ. We trust Christ. And that's what we're going to look at really tonight. Again, and you have your outline there, this passage of praise shows, and the passage of praise is verse 3 through verse 14. It's the longest continuous sentence in the New Testament. It's one thought in a long sentence. And it's a passage of praise. It shows, first of all, and we're reviewing this, but it shows the plan of God the Father. Blank line there. It shows the plan of God the Father. Why does God want to show us His plan? To the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. When you think about the plan of God in this text, we think about election, predestination, adoption. Why? That we should be to the praise of His glory. Amen. Secondly, not only the plan of God the Father, but the provision of God the Son in verses 7 through 12. What do we learn about there? What do we see the provision of God the Son? Well, I'll tell you what we see. We see, if you look at verse 7, in whom we have what? Redemption. Redemption. even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption, yes. Being completely redeemed from the slave market of sin, yes. The forgiveness of sins. Why? That we should be to the praise of His glory. And then thirdly, and we'll just scratch the surface of this tonight, but it'll be in future lessons, is the pledge of God the Spirit. In verses 13 and 14, particularly verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Some of you remember what an earnest payment was. It was a good faith down payment. A lot of times it was done without contract, amen? It was simply done by handshake. Earnest. We have the pledge of the Holy Spirit. Why? That we should be to the praise of His glory. Amen. So, blank line there. Becoming a Christian is trusting Christ as personal Savior. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not harder than that. Amen. Now, there's some things that you need to know. You need to know you're a sinner. You need to know that there's a payment that God has for sin. But when you boil it all down, becoming a Christian is trusting Christ as Savior. It's not trusting Christ and being baptized. It's not trusting Christ and joining a church. Though I think if you trust Christ, you should be baptized. And if you have trusted Christ and are baptized, you should join a local body of believers. I believe that. But that doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is trusting Christ. So, secondly, here, verses 12 through 13, we have the clearest scriptural picture painted of the process of how and what happens when a person trusts Christ. How does it happen and what happens when we trust Christ? Okay? So the first thing we see, number one, is hearing. Okay? And it says there in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. So, which goes back, by the way, that in whom goes back to verse 12. Who did we trust? What's the last word of verse 12? Christ. Okay? In whom ye also trusted after that ye what? Heard the word of truth. And I believe this next statement with everything in me. No one is or can be saved apart from hearing the Word of God. No one is or can be saved apart from the hearing of the Word of God. Now, people will say, well, look, creation screams that there is a God. I agree with you 100%. But the fact that there is a God doesn't save anybody. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay? So, no one is saved. Now, thank God there's all kinds of ways to hear the Word of God. There's literally hearing the Word of God with our own ears. Thank God for gospel radio. Gospel radio goes all over the world. Literally, all over the world. There are gospel tracts. There are John and Romans. There are Bibles. Thank God there are preachers, there are missionaries, there are concerned Christian co-workers to get the Word of God to people. But nobody just says, well, I'm a Christian because I have always believed there is a God. James 2:19 says, the devils, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They're not saved. Amen? So, hearing, one must first hear the word of truth. And I apologize, you probably don't have a lot of room to write that there. One must first hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And then we have, no one can be saved apart from the hearing of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. James 1:22 tells us to receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And then you have a blank line there. You can write down, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Let me read it to you as you write it down. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. And many of you know this verse. It's a wonderful verse. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. No one is saved without the hearing of the word of God. Okay? So, number one, the first thing that takes place in the process of salvation, hey, whether you got saved at 8 or 85, is somebody gave you the Word of God. You heard the Word of God. I think about my dad's salvation. My dad's salvation. Last day of his life. Last hours of his life. A godly friend of mine, I'll be indebted to him for the rest of my life and for all eternity too. Stood over him and gave him the gospel and said, "Do you understand? Squeeze my hand." And he heard and he squeezed. Nobody gets saved without hearing the Word of God. Secondly, not only hearing, but the second portion is right there in that verse as well, back in Ephesians 1, verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that," after you heard the word of God, "ye" what? "Believed." So hearing, number one. Number two, believing. Believing. When a person has heard the word, they come to the critical point. And Brother Case, this is an anti-Calvinist message. Amen. As are all my messages, if you wanted to know the truth. Amen. What is it? They come to the crucial point. Whether or not to believe, rely on, trust Jesus Christ. There are some people think man has no choice. The only part we have is to believe or not believe. I think about that when Jesus gave that hard saying and it said many of his disciples walk with him no more. And he looked at the disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" I love Peter's response there. Peter has some foot and mouth incidents, doesn't he? This isn't one of them. He said, "To whom shall we go? Tell us the words of eternal life. We got nobody else to go to. Hey, by the way, we got nobody else to go to." Amen. We just take it, tell it to Jesus. Amen. But the Apostle Paul, it says of the Apostle Paul, I think it's in Acts chapter 28, 24. I could be wrong. He said, it says this about Paul. Paul preached, some believed, some believed not. This is the crucial point. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have" what? "Everlasting life." Everlasting life. So hearing, first of all, believing. When a person has heard the word, they come to the critical point whether or not to believe, to rely on, to trust Jesus Christ. Those are all synonyms. To believe is not just to give mental assent to a fact. It's to truly believe, amen, and take him as your own. So hearing, believing, that's our part, by the way. We hear, and then we choose to believe. And when we choose Christ, when we believe, whether it be here or in the pew or by your bedside or pulled over next to the side of the road, the second that you believe and truly trust Christ as Savior, the next part happens. Verse 13, the end says, "In whom also after that ye believed, ye were" what? "Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." That is a gift of God to those of us that believe. I say that. I shouldn't say that. He is a gift of God. What does it say there? Number one, the process of salvation, hearing. Number two, believing. Number three, sealing. And that is, and we're going to talk a lot about the seal and what it means and all that in probably our next message here. But here's the process, basically. One hears the word of life. Blank line there. One hears the word of life. Remember, we're spiritually dead, but the Spirit of God comes along and he brings that living word to us. And the Bible talks about itself saying the word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive, amen. It literally gives life according to 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And so one hears the word of life, believes in the one who is the life. "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What was he again? He was the way, the truth, and the... When Jesus stood at Lazarus with Lazarus' sisters, and they said, "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And he said, "Thy brother shall rise again in the resurrection." He said, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection, and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Whew. One hears the word of life, believes in the one who is the life. We trust Christ. And what happens? We are born again. John 3:5. When that takes place, when we hear the word of God and we believe on the Son of God, we are birthed by the Spirit of God. We are birthed. That is what we call regeneration. And that is the process. And when that happens there, when we're born again and sealed, and you have a blank line there, you can write down chapter 1, verse 13. So when one hears the word, blank line, Hebrews 4:12, believes in the one who is the life, John 11:25 and 14:6 is the blank line there, and is born again, John 3:5, and sealed, and just put Ephesians 1:13, by the Spirit of life. All that takes place when we get saved. You know what? I'll tell you this. No 8-year-old boy knows all that. Right? I haven't met one yet. Maybe there's some genius, spiritual genius out there that knows all that. Here's what you need to know. You're a sinner. And he's the Savior. But he does all that. And all that we've read so far from verse 3 to 14, he does all that when we believe. Election, adoption, predestination, all the redemption, forgiveness of sins, all of that we get by just believing. You know, I'll tell you what, I don't know why anybody would refuse him. Huh? I do know why. They're dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Boy, God will use us. And just I think about this, and all that I could think of, Miss Robin, was I'd like to sing "And Can It Be" for our invitation tonight. All I could think of when I read this and studied this today was amazing, amazing love. How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Whew. Praise God! I think that's number 58 in your book, page number 58. Amen. Let's stand and sing as we.